No. It just shoots like a 50s
B
movie, black and white.
It's just like, it's weird now.
I don't know what to do with my body.
I feel like. Yeah. Welcome, we have a new format. Man, we need a way to start this one. It's like, start what? And like some dude's in the back is like, hey, what are you guys working on? He's like, oh, we're working on Mortal Kombat. What? Mortal Kombat! That's like, that's the way we started, dude. Yeah.
That's it.
Jump cut.
Mortal Kombat.
I just can't imagine the shit you do in your kitchen.
There was only one video we had it on record. It was fucking Thriller.
Brand new episode of the Exit Only Theater podcast. I'm JP Lee. With me is...
I am Adrian Alderette.
We're a little...
And as you can see, we lost our seats.
We have nowhere to go now. So we're actually going to try a new format. There's a new look to the studio. Hope you guys like it. Gives us a little chance to move around a little more, which might look really awkward the first couple episodes.
Hey, I'm
not,
digging it.
I'm not an actor
it.
In any way, so I don't really know how to move my body the right way. So that's going to be an interesting...
it makes me be more dramatic.
Dramatic turn.
Dramatic turn.
It looked like your elbow almost missed the table. You're like, how's it going?
My elbow never misses the table.
Well, to get to the topic at hand.
Speaking of dramatic turn.
Last week was the 80th Annual Academy Awards, and we figured we'd give a couple days to mull it over before we give our official review episode.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's been a couple days, so let's launch into sort of our best moments, least favorite things kind of news related about the Oscars themselves. So we'll kind of just jump into it. First thing I wanted to talk about was, did Spotlight deserve Best Picture? Because it was the first film since 1953 to only win one other award before it won the big prize. So I don't really know what to take from that.
The way I see it is that based on the awards it won, Best Original Screenplay, Best Picture. To me, what it tells me is that the Academy found that story was just more compelling than the other, and more probably best executed for in the style that it was trying to go after than the other films. I obviously I don't agree with it because I think Mad Max it was my favorite movie of the year.
Mm-hmm.
But that being said, I could see why they would go that direction because it wasn't over the top, it wasn't preachy. And it was well executed.
I wouldn't argue that it wasn't preachy. I would just argue that the director didn't get in the way of what the writing sold as its quiet preachiness.
True.
If that's the way you could sell it.
Because like obviously the Academy will never give a movie like Mad Max a Best Picture. They're like, oh, have all the technical awards. Even though I think those it kind of goes to like what you value more when it comes to. If you're an Academy voter, if I was an Academy voter, I think it goes to also in kind of in tune to like what our generation like really enjoys now.
Yeah.
Where it's like, I think the editing was amazing. I thought the production design was amazing. The costumes, everything.
Which they agree. They all won
best Oscars. Oscars for their category.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, like you look at the traditional, the traditional way Oscars are kind of voted on. It's like, how was the acting, and was the story amazing? And that's old school, and I could kind of see why the Academy went that direction.
I think a film should do both. I think it should be technically, proficient at the very least, if not stellar, which something like Mad Max was.
Yeah.
And the story should say something. And Mad Max had a little bit of an allegorical story that some people I talked to thought it was a little heavy-handed.
Mm-hmm.
But regardless, it was a very well-executed story. So I feel like that film carried both of those points better than Spotlight, which... was, as a directing standpoint, it was so understated to the point of just being, like, I feel like I think Spotlight and The Big Short are similar in very different ways, if it makes sense.
No, where I know exactly what you mean.
Spotlight, I didn't feel the impact because I didn't know, there weren't really as much emotion in each scene except for a couple moments with Mark Ruffalo, whereas The Big Short trivialized everything because it made everything funny.
Yeah.
So then at the end, it didn't pack that emotional punch. So both of those had different sets of problems, and they were too similar in different ways for me to like either of them enough for Best Picture.
It didn't go that... I don't want to say it didn't go the extra mile, but it didn't take the chance of trying to do something different.
Right. Not that I needed to dramatize or to be melodramatic in any way. It just... Yeah. Because the moments that did do that felt weird. Like when Mark Ruffalo was yelling at the end.
Oh, my goodness.
He was great in it, but it did not fit the rest of the film. I feel like it needed moments like that fit a little bit better. I don't know. I just feel like it was a different take on something. It was very procedural, yeah. which was cool, but I didn't think it was Best Picture. But my favorite film of the year wasn't even in that category. So Inside yeah. Out was the Best Picture of the year. So I don't know if there's anything else you wanted to point out to
no,
it.
No, that's pretty much
all
it.
All right, yeah. So we basically disagree with it, but we see why they chose it.
No.
Second thing I wanted to get to was which moments stood out overall from the entire ceremony? Not just categories, it could have been parts from yeah. the actual broadcast.
What stood out the most to me, and I know I'm probably going to catch a lot of flack for this, was the Lady Gaga performance.
Ah, okay.
Believe it or not, I didn't even know she was nominated until we were watching the show. Yeah, I remember when we looked at the ballot, I'm like, Lady Gaga's nominated for something?
Huh.
Oh, how about that? That's probably the only time her husband will ever be caught at an award show.
Hey, he won a People's Choice or something for something.
What, Best Male Stand-In?
I think he did win something like that for Chicago Fire.
Rest in peace. I thought... The reason I'm pointing it out, because I just don't feel it was put together very well. I loved the moment at the end when mm-hmm. all the actual people that had gone through
some kind of sexual assault
came out. I thought that was very powerful.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought it was over-directed. I thought there were obviously they just didn't capture Lady Gaga's performance very well, and it made her look bad.
I realize as we're talking about this now that it's not necessarily Gaga's performance. You're yeah. right, because the director had weird shots where he would zoom in dramatically from the top down yeah. on her piano, and it just didn't.
And she kept looking for the camera, and I'm like, don't.
Yeah, rehearsals didn't go well apparently, because yeah. it just looked like she was constantly trying to.
And
find
she was
it.
Just like, oh, I'm like, you're not helping her out. I'm like, yeah. what? Like, for
she's
instance,
already intense enough,
It's like. I would compare it to when she performed The Sound of Music the year before.
Mm-hmm.
You captured a performance. She was there. She was singing. And it was great. And it was almost very similar styles. She was just sitting at a piano. Yet you kept... You're just like, hey, we have a camera here. We have a camera here. We have a camera here. Hey, let's use all of them.
They
were joking about it.
Yeah.
We're just like, hey, you know what? We have another camera there. Fuck it. Let's cut to the bathroom. Let's go there.
And when we would joke about cuts, they would follow when we would say it, too. Yeah. You're just like, this is kind of absurd. I can agree with you for that. I think her performance as a whole, there's always something that's overproduced with her, if it's her fault or not.
Yeah.
It just happens a lot around her because she's just kind of like this larger personality.
Yeah.
I have a lot of problems with the film itself, but I think the song itself was incredible, and I thought it should have won Best Original Song.
Mm-hmm.
But, that's neither here nor there. Sam Smith, that song wasn't great. But for me, the moment that stood out was Chris Rock's monologue.
Yeah.
I thought there were so many things that everyone expected him to say that it could have felt like it was like rehashing jokes that he's been telling for years. I mean, he's been one of the premier, sort of bringing out racial tension in a comedic and very humane way.
Yeah.
He's that kind of comedian for years, and he did a great job of not only attacking the problems that everyone's been talking about, but also bringing to light some of the other side of the issue, where the joke about Jada Pinkett Smith, where he's like, it's like being invited to Rihanna's underpants or something. He's like, you weren't invited.
Yeah,
yeah,
like,
exactly.
He's like, you weren't invited.
This is
in the
why
first
I'm
place.
Not a comic, but you get what I'm saying. Like, he just set it up in a way that was just like, you're complaining because it's not really valid. Like, I just liked where he came from that entire point.
My roommate came to me afterwards. He's like, hey man, what'd you think about the awards and specifically the monologue? And I asked him first, like, well, what did you think about it first?
Yeah.
Because I knew I kind of had a feel because he kind of had like this look where he's like, I'm gonna disagree with you.
Yeah.
So he told me, he's like, I just felt like. He shouldn't have been hosting in the first place and whatnot. And I told him, I'm like, look.
They pick that almost 6 months in advance.
Yeah. And aside from that, he was there. He had the balls to be out there, first of all. And second of all, he approached it in such an intelligent way that of the stand-ups that I've seen him do, it was by far the most well-done and intellectual stand-up he's done probably ever. Because, if you looked at his style, films aside... He's kind of always taken that raunchy, is like, oh, like a grill, like a guy who's going to grill you.
His delivery is always very harsh, but what he's saying is always layered very well.
Yeah.
So I wasn't surprised that what he was saying was a very, he's one of the most cerebral comics out there. Him and Louis C.K., I think, could write circles around most people out there that are writing.
Yeah.
But I completely agree with you, where you can't fault him.
Yeah, and the thing is, he was never, and you can make a case that there were sometimes he was kind of like, picking, saying, oh, you guys messed up here. But he literally was smart enough to say, hey, I'm presenting it like it is.
Right.
And look how ridiculous it is.
Yeah.
Like, when Jada Pinkett Smith, he's like, look,
I'm
not saying.
He'll
pull
fun at anyone. It doesn't matter.
He's like, look, I'm not saying that what she did was wrong, but let's be real. You're Jada Pinkett Smith. You're not going to cause a ripple in anything right now just from you not showing up. Yeah, Will Smith, great big deal. They made fun of him, too. But he did it in such a way where... every point he made was a sound point.
Yeah.
It all made sense.
And he didn't attack one side. He kind of went in both directions, yeah. Which I thought was refreshing. I thought it was really cool.
And it was still to the point where it was entertaining, where no one felt uncomfortable.
Right. I think everybody felt a little uncomfortable, which is good.
The Oscars are going to change going forward, whether Chris Rock's monologue happened or not.
Right.
It was going to change. And they already did change. They changed the rules already for as to what it means to be a member in the Academy. But from what he needed to do for people to be satisfied based off what happened with this year's Oscars,
right.
He nailed it. Yeah, he freaking nailed it.
I thought he was great, and that first 15 minutes or so was just a great way to set the tone, even though the show was like 4 and something hours, 4:10.
Yeah, it was like a lot.
They didn't care this year. No. They were just, we're going to go 45 minutes over. It is
And outside of the monologue and that one really cool like pre-produced clip where there was like black like people Tracy in other Morgan movies, he wasn't in the show that much. He really wasn't. No. But, like, the fact that he was probably the most memorable part of the show, aside from the controversy, that's amazing. Yeah. I think he has to be brought back.
And he's hosted before, and it wasn't surprising that they brought him back. It just is kind of years apart, which is kind of surprising. Yeah. So that's our sort of, you know, not shocking, but surprising moments of the show.
Yeah.
For me, I think the next thing I want to talk about is, because we can't talk about the Oscars without bringing up his name. Because Leo won an Oscar.
It was Leo's show. Yeah.
What I would assume to be one of the weaker years of Best Actor nominees, I can get into a whole discussion about how I think Jacob Tremblay should have gotten nominated for Best Actor, but that's for a later discussion.
Yeah.
My question to you is, we know what he's done. We know that maybe he should have won for other performances, but that's neither here nor there. What happens next? What does the second act of Leo's career look like?
Yeah. It's crazy that we finally got to this point.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people who weren't movie, like, I'm going to just straight up call them out. There's a lot of people that think they watch movies and they're, but actually don't.
They're casual fans.
Yeah, they're like casual fans. And they're like, oh, Leo deserves an Oscar. It's like, yeah, but like, look at the years he was nominated. Aside from maybe last year for Wolf of Wall Street, he was beat out pretty fairly by really good performances.
He's been Roger Deakins, you know, a couple times.
Yeah. but like now that he has his Oscar, in my opinion, I think he kind of starts like not like all the way back, but I think he starts scaling it back. He's not gonna go after the roles like a Revenant ever again.
Anyone goes for the Revenant ever again.
No, yeah, it's like you go after that when you're just like I want my damn Oscar,
right?
Or I want the damn recognition I deserve. Mm-hmm. I think he's gonna like, even though he picks and chooses his roles already like pretty scarcely, I think he's gonna be really just like, look, I'm gonna work with Scorsese if he wants me, or I'm gonna, you know, there's this really cool script, and I'm like, yeah, you know, I'll do it. And I honestly, I see him being more of a producer from here on out. Like, even though he's still really young in his career, but the
he's only 42.
He's only 42, but he's been acting for a long time. So I say at least initially after that one movie he has coming out where he's gonna play a guy with like a
20-something personalities.
But he signed on for that before he even was before The Revenant even came out. I think after this, he'll probably take a few years break, and then I think he'll kind of reevaluate and say, okay, I'll start trying hard again. But like now, he deserves a break. He deserves to kind of thaw out from the damn Revenant thing.
I will give him that. But he's Leo DiCaprio. He's always on some kind of yacht with 20 supermodels. It's not like he like struggles for 2 years in these really epic roles. Like when he plays these other roles, they're very dramatic and he does them perfectly.
Yeah.
But I mean, how much struggling does it take to be the guy from Wolf of Wall Street? How much struggling does it take to be the guy from Catch Me If You Can? Like, a lot of these roles that he's done, it's basically kind of that George Clooney vibe where it's like, oh, it's Leo as so-and-so.
Yeah.
And yes, he's changed his accent, or in The Aviator, that was demanding. But it's not like he's physically stressed to the point like he was in The Revenant.
He's not a character actor or a crazy method.
Right, he's not Daniel Day-Lewis. I mean, he's still incredibly talented, but I feel like I see him having more of a Jack Nicholson career. Where he, every couple years, does something really good for the next 15, 20 years. I don't see him slowing down at the pace that I think you do.
Yeah.
Because I feel like once he's had a taste of
agree that he's going to kind of take the way where he's going to be in these roles that are more, how would I say it? Like, it's hard to describe Jack Nicholson, but like when you see him like in As Good As It Gets or something like that, where he plays just like this guy who's just really...
But that's in, like, 20 years.
Yeah, no, I'm not saying, like, age, like, in, like, that specific role, but I'm saying, like, characters that are kind of like that in personality, where he could be kind of like George Clooney, where he shows up, where he's great, mm-hmm. but it's him just being suave, him being cool.
I don't know. I just feel like he's conditioned himself since he's been acting at such a young age, and the roles he took at 17, 18 were not easy heartthrob roles, except for Titanic. Like, what's he in Gilbert Grape? Like, the roles he took, even Basketball Diaries, yeah, he was a pretty face, but it was still a stressful role.
Oh, no, yeah, no doubt about it.
So it's not like he was just taking that easy route.
But he's been doing, like, think about it, he's been taking those hardcore roles since he was 18.
I don't know, I just, I think
that wears on you eventually.
I think he's seeing what, like, De Niro's been going through, and, like, the fact that, like, the last 10 years, De Niro's just been basically, like,
collecting
this, like, crotchety old man for, like, the last, you know, 5 or 6 films he's done. Yeah, he's collecting a paycheck, it's totally fine, but, like, I don't think he's going to go that route as quickly as some might perceive it to be. I think he's still got another 15, 20 years. Scorsese the whole way through if he wants to. Like, he can make a good Scorsese movie every 3 years for the rest of his life. Like,
that's true.
He's been doing that anyway, so he might as well keep going.
He's set for money. He's down to change the world, literally.
And I didn't realize The Revenant, he probably did that because of the fact that it had that relationship to nature. And it was, he put himself through hell just to show how much beauty there was in it. I don't know, there was a lot more depth to that role than I thought. Yeah. And that's kind of how his speech started. But that's kind of, so we talked about Leo. We got that out of the way. We talked about it more than I even wanted to. But who is the next Leo? Who's the next guy that we're going to, or girl, if you wanted to, that is going to have people putting memes and going crazy over the fact that this guy hasn't won an Oscar yet?
It's, you could go back and say all your favorite actors and say, boy, this guy, this guy, or this guy.
Mm-hmm.
I know who you're going to pick because we talked about it already. It took a while for me to like get there, but honestly, I'm going to go ahead, off the top of my head, I want to say Johnny Depp.
Okay.
From an actor perspective, I want to keep it in
the
acting category.
Actually, Adnan Virk said the same thing.
Yeah, because Johnny Depp, very similar to like Leo, but in the opposite, where how Leo was approaching his roles, mm-hmm. where he's like, oh, I'm going to go after this really difficult role. Thing is, Johnny Depp always goes after these roles and makes them difficult. Whereas, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, a little bit.
Where it's like, he could take a role, it's like, hey man, you're playing the Mad Hatter, just be whatever. But he takes it another level, which is awesome because as an audience member, we want to see you put your heart and soul in it. The only thing is, I think it's starting to wear on him. And it's one of those things where I Black Mass, he was really good.
That movie just wasn't very good.
The movie wasn't really good, and I think the director just didn't really have a lot of control on how to portray him either. Because it was just him being creepy the entire time.
Those contacts, they were so distracting.
I just hope that I'm not saying like who's the next to kind of like finally get that off their back. I just think he's the guy that we point
to now. That people start to think
and
about.
And we think, it's like, man, dude, Johnny Depp really, he deserves an Oscar. And I really do, because he, as someone who took theater classes in college, and obviously being aspiring filmmakers now, you study these careers, and he was the one person that I always admired as an actor because he was able to take any role and elevate it, but it's just like, you're pulling for him.
His last few, several roles, really, I really think he needs to take a break from Tim Burton films, in my opinion, because a lot of the films he's been doing with Tim Burton have become just one-note caricatures of the same thing.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what he looks like. It's essentially the same thing. He's being a character actor put into starring roles that look incredibly different but end up feeling exactly the same. He needs to do something like Black Mass over again that's just, it's more just about the character itself instead of the shtick that goes on in the setup of it all.
Yeah, because so
that's my opinion. It's like he could win something.
Yeah.
He just needs to get away from the comfort zone of working with his friends.
I would like to see him, and this is a pipe dream, but I think the perfect director that I really think could bring the best out of him and really get him his first Oscar while still playing to his strengths, Guillermo del Toro.
That could be good.
I think if let's say, for instance, like there's a lot of rumors of what Guillermo del Toro is working on in the future, but let's say Guillermo del Toro, because he just dropped Pacific Rim 2 and he handed it off to Steven DeKnight to direct, one of the runners from Daredevil Season 1.
Mm-hmm.
There's a rumor that he might be doing Justice League Dark, and if he does something like that, or if he does another movie like Crimson Peak, Johnny Depp's somebody that you could play around with where he could be a character, but I'd like to see him do that with a different director.
Yeah.
And I think if you give him someone like Guillermo del Toro that can really bring out the important emotional aspects of the character instead of just him being like, oh, like wacky and whatever, that's what I want to see.
But I'm also concerned that del Toro would invite that, the whatever the Squidward dance was. Like, that's what I'm afraid of, is I want someone who can strip him off of that, just that need to be, like, shticky. I want him to be, I just want it to be as bare bones as possible. The same argument I have with Lady Gaga. Like, sometimes I just wanted to sit at a piano and record an album, and that's it.
That's a very good point.
Like, just let your talent speak for itself. Don't put all this stuff in front of it and get in the way. So I agree with you.
Yeah.
My pick is something that's actually gained a little bit of traction online, is Gary Oldman. Like, it's completely, like, you said one nomination.
He's only been nominated once, and that was for Tinker, Tailor, Soldier, Spy.
Mind-blowing. That late in his career, after doing so many incredible performances.
Yeah.
And, I mean, yes, he's gotten a little bit of a reputation of being, like, the bad guy in a lot of things, but to be, I don't know, wholly original in every bad guy he plays, and when he doesn't do the bad guys, he's incredibly moving in those two. I think it's absolutely stunning that he hasn't won.
There was a time, I remember when The Book of Eli came out, and there was a behind-the-scenes featurette that that they released with the movie, and Denzel Washington was doing an interview, and he says that when he saw the script he was reading, he's like, man, this is a great script.
Yeah.
I'll only do it if Gary Oldman plays the villain. And they were like, and like, it's funny because like around that same time, that's when The Dark Knight came out.
Mm-hmm.
And Gary Oldman says, you know, I didn't really want to do another villain role. Like, and Chris Nolan called me and then I did this one. He's like, but you know, Gary Oldman's a smart enough guy where he knows where he sees an opportunity to not only just play an interesting character, but to like have a different twist on him.
And when Denzel calls, well. I mean, you gotta answer.
But I completely agree with you. He's one of those actors. You could look back to from Leon the Professional, where he's just playing a crooked cop, but like, man, like he really took that to a different
place.
Even
in True Romance, wasn't he?
He was in a snippet of a scene.
But it was like he stole a show in like every moment he was in, and it was like the most random role he could have ever picked.
Yeah,
looking at his career now, but
he's an actor's actor and. I'd love to see him. I'd love to see both these guys win.
Yeah, someone pointed out it's really sad to say, but like it would have been cool to have Alan Rickman on that list too. Like, it's just so bittersweet. But we'll stump for Gary Oldman and for Johnny Depp. The last thing I wanted to bring up is sort of projecting forward. We have our who we want to win next kind of thing. But who are the people who won this year? Who's a person that's on your radar now? It could be one or two people, but who's someone that you, because of this year's performance or this year's directing debut or something to that effect, you looked back at some of their older stuff and you're like, all right, I'm kind of excited to see what they do next. Like, who's your pick?
It's kind of two.
Ooh, okay.
But two totally different answers in regards to this. Both of them are directors. First is Adam McKay. I was really impressed with The Big Short. Not because I was like, wow, I didn't think he was capable of this. It was more of that I was amazed that I'm like, he has such a wild imagination that he could take a story and remove his kind of like what he used to do and be able to tell that story the way it needs to be told.
My question to you about that, because I know you really like that movie.
Yeah.
Is that movie as impressive because his name's attached to it, because you don't expect him to have that kind of voice?
Yeah.
Because that movie's a good film, but if you took Adam McKay's name out of it.
Yeah.
I feel like you'd be like, yeah, that's a good movie. But like, because Adam McKay's in it, you're like, that exceeded expectations.
Yeah.
Like, it's weird. Not that his other films haven't been good, but they're so different from this.
They're so different from this one. Anchorman 2 and then this. It's completely different.
It was as the cobbler to spotlight.
Yeah. It's just...
Adam
McKay,
that's a good one.
He is based on the fact that he did The Big Short and the fact that he wrote it and won Best Oscar for Best Adapted Screenplay for it.
True.
I'm very excited to see. I think this gives him... I know he knew he could do it. Like, in interviews, like, look, you know, I just wanted to tell a story, and these actors just so happened to buy into my story.
Yeah, he got a lot of credit for the people he put in the film, too.
I think the fact that he was able to do this with a mega star cast was awesome, and I think Hollywood now has confidence in him to say, hey, man, you know, we'd like you to take this story, or hey, you know what, you have a story?
Doors have opened for him.
Yeah, like, actors want to work with him and say, you know what, let's do it. I think he could take something really interesting.
It's definitely a good pick.
The second part of my answer is George Miller.
Okay.
Even though he's up there in age, he's a proven filmmaker.
It could take him another 10 years to do something.
And the reason I'm looking forward to seeing what he does forward is because there's a lot of rumors as to what he does next, whether aside from Mad Max, actually.
Right.
There's talk that he's going to be a producer now for the Justice League films. And as a comic book fan, it's like, oh, interesting, because there were rumors a few months ago saying that he was going to direct the next Man of Steel, the sequel. And I was like, holy crap. And he was like, no. I'm not doing that right now. And he never said he was not going to be a part of it. Because a few years ago, he had his own Justice League that he was working on.
Right.
And that just ended up being torn apart. But now that Zack Snyder's brought that franchise, and it looks like it's going to be moving forward, regardless of what Batman v Superman does, I'll be interested in seeing what he does as a producer to help make those films better. Because you don't just bring him on as a producer just for the hell of it. Right. You're like, no.
He's going to have some kind of voice.
He's going to definitely have a voice. Mm-hmm. And I think having that kind of producer role with that universe to compete against Marvel is very exciting.
Yeah, I like both picks. I actually went with two directors as well. Nice. So my two are Alex Garland, who directed Ex Machina and also wrote it.
Yep.
The film won Best Visual Effects, which is a testament to how the story...
Upset went, too.
Huge upset. I mean, that film is so much smaller than any of the other category, any of the other nominees. But I'm in love with the way he's spinning sci-fi in a believable way. So I can't wait to see what he does next. I think he has something on the horizon in the next couple of years.
He does, yeah.
Another sci-fi pick, so I'm really into that. And the other one, I actually watched Room after the ceremony. It was the only Best Picture nominee I hadn't seen.
Yeah.
Watched it last night and was blown away by how good that film was. I was actually very surprised. I highly recommend it. I thought it was going to be very hard to watch. Actually, it was, of course. In moments, it was very hard. But it was so tastefully done, and it's all because of Lenny Abramson. He did Frank a couple years ago, and
that movie blew us away.
Like, that movie was just, doesn't, it shouldn't make, it shouldn't be as good as it is.
It's on Netflix if you haven't seen it. Watch that, because it shows, it's a very, I had no idea that he did that.
Yeah.
No one ever mentions that. It's like, oh, his room. It's like, oh, this guy, and like they talk about Brie Larson, Jacob Tremblay.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, dude, this guy's directed some legit actors two times in a row.
And he's an Irish director with only like 8 directing credits to his name. So, and he's like 50 too. So it's not like, it's never too late to like break out in the industry. So I'm really excited about what he has coming down the pike.
Mm-hmm.
So those are the two picks that I'm looking forward to most.
Yeah.
So I think if there's anything else you wanted to bring up about the Oscars?
No, I just, kind of going back to like, just because something wins an Oscar or doesn't win an Oscar doesn't necessarily define it. Like, I guarantee you, 20 years from now, no one's going to be talking about Spotlight.
No.
That's fine. It won Best Picture. It had its moment. I guarantee you 20 years from now, people will be talking about Mad Max Fury Road.
And if you need evidence of that, look at 1994, because Forrest Gump won, but Pulp Fiction didn't. Or 99, I think it was 99?
Yeah.
When Saving Private Ryan lost to Shakespeare in Love. So you never know what could happen. Things. I mean, in 20 years, the films that lost are probably going to be the more favorites. So.
Oh, yeah.
Except for, of course, Mad Max, because that did win a lot. But that's beside the point.
Yeah.
So just stay tuned for next week, because we're going to be watching Zootopia and Whiskey Tango Foxtrot.
Should've
I had to write it down. So we'll have probably two different reviews throughout the week for those. Keep chiming in on social media. I know this guy's been like our social media guru the last couple months. Thank you. Had to give him a little bit more of a shout out. Sean had a nice quiet cameo tonight. Thank you so much for being our camera guru. I don't know if you I don't know if you've gotten a shot of the fact that there is a giant floodlight helping us out too.
Yeah.
So it's been I'm blinded by this show right now.
We've had some shadowing issues. We had some dark shady issues.
But I think this is kind of helping us out now. We found the common ground. So
we're trying out this new style too. We hope it kind of spices up. We're evolving. We're evolving as we go. We're getting better. We're getting a lot of love from people randomly. We're picking up fans.
Yeah, for sure.
The more fans that watch, the more input we can get. So please send us whatever suggestions you guys have, whether it be just on the podcast or even what we should be talking about. So,
like haircuts for Adrian. Whatever helps.
Yeah.
He tried to quaff his hair. Yeah. So just stay tuned. Let us know what you think. And for JP Lee and Adrian Alderette, we'll see you when the credits roll.